from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Look, good morning. It's the best day of the week. It's a Thursday. The vibes are great in the chatty house. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon. There's NBA basketball today, game one of the NBA Finals. We're going to talk about that a ton. We've got media beef and maybe the best rivalry in the NBA happening in the media. We will get to that as well. I need to complain about the weather very briefly.
Oh, no.
No, I don't want to do too much because, look, I don't. If you live in Minnesota, it's going to be cold.
Okay.
If you live in Sacramento or the part of the Bay Area I live in, it's going to be hot. If you live in Arizona, which I did for 2.5 years, it's going to be hot.
Mm-hmm.
And being like, wow, it's August 3rd and it's 114 in Arizona. It's like, yeah, of course. That's kind of the gig. That's part of it. It's like playing a baseball game and be like, hey, there's a lot of games. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what you signed up for.
162 of them.
I don't mind that it's hot.
Okay.
It's not the whatever it got up to yesterday, 100, 101, whatever. Like I said, I did 3 summers in Arizona and it stinks, but you get used to it, you move on. It's the nighttime. It's the 88 degrees at 9 p.m. that I can't deal with. Typically, it has in the past, and maybe it will throughout this summer, like cool down in the evening.
Yeah.
Sun goes down, temperature drops, and then you've got a really nice like 70 degrees by the time it's dark. And it's just really nice. And then temperature goes down throughout the night, and you can open your windows, and you can exist in a world where your AC is not running all the time.
Yes.
I need the night hot to stop. Whoever is in charge of the nighttime, turn the temperature down.
It's too early for that.
I'm totally with you. A week or two in July/August where it's that hot just for 24 hours. All right, fine. Again, that's what you sign up for. But on June 5th?
Mm. Yeah, we like to crank on the whole house fan and pulls some cool air off the lake.
It's the best thing.
But it's too hot.
Yep.
It was too hot, and it's like you got to run the AC until like it's time to go to sleep.
I was sitting there last night, and same deal. I'm watching the Dodgers for some work I'm doing.
Yeah,
and it was 3 o'clock, 3:40 first pitch, so about 7 o'clock, about 6:30 the game's ending, and I'm getting my stuff done, and you know we're making dinner, and I'm like, oh, about time we can open up windows. And look, it's 88 degrees or 90 degrees at that point.
And you're gross. In the Bay. Yeah, like you're not.
I'm way inland. I am way.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm an hour with no traffic. I'm 55 minutes east of San Francisco.
Okay.
So I'm inland enough that it gets hot. But no, to your point, like typically it cools down quite a bit at night.
Yeah.
And I'm just not getting any of that, and that's the part that sucks. I don't mind the hot days because you can stay inside. We work in an office. We're not out doing roofing or construction or something like that.
Digging
like,
a ditch.
Yeah, it's not. It could be much, much worse. But it's that. Come on, man. Like I said, whoever's in charge of the nighttime, just turn it down. Like today.
Just cool down.
I'm looking in Sacramento right now. 7 p.m., 6 p.m., 93 degrees. 7 p.m., 89 degrees. This is according to the weather app on my iPhone. This is in Sacramento. 8 p.m., 83 degrees. 9 p.m., 78. It's not till 10 you get to like 74 where it's reasonable to start.
Oh, wow.
Opening up windows.
Yeah, that's not great.
I don't love it.
This is boat season. It's boat season, man. I'm ready.
Oh, dude, if you've got a boat, yeah, let it be hot every day.
Yeah.
Just out there baking on a boat, jump in the lake for a little. Oh.
Yeah. The 16-year-old took his friends out yesterday on the boat. Oh. We went out. I did like scare tactics, like had conversations with the boys,
yeah,
telling them how they can chop up their friends if they turn on the boat motor while people are in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had to go through all the basic rules of the lake. Like mm-hmm. you have to go counterclockwise. Speedboat always turns to the outside if they have a skier fall. So don't be on the outside of a ski boat. Like all these, there's like some rules you got to learn.
Sure, that makes sense.
And they had a great time and they didn't crash the boat and they parked it okay, which is always scary. Parking a giant boat and
that feels like it would be the most difficult part.
Yeah, everything else is easy. Yeah, yeah, a boat is actually pretty simple to like go out and like a pontoon boat is simple.
Sure.
But it was like a good day to like be out there. I'm like, hey, don't try to be cool. Don't go fast. Don't do stupid things.
Yeah,
we're all just trying to have a good time here. Yeah. Don't get in trouble. Don't get security calling me. So, oof. But they enjoyed the heat. They were in the water for hours and like
yeah
it's perfect.
Yeah, the best. All right. Speaking of the best, I think the best rivalry in the NBA right now, and friend of the program, friend of the station, Chris Biederman, actually texted this morning and said, is Shams and Woj the best rivalry in the NBA right now?
Mm.
And I kind of first was like, yeah, good one. And then I started thinking about it because I'm going, what is the best rivalry in the NBA? Like who has that mantle right now? From like a person to person standpoint.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's one better. At least there's not one to me that's more interesting than Shams v. Woj. You could say it's Rudy Gobert and Draymond because Draymond's out there talking all this trash on TNT doing that. But that's not compelling. That's mm-hmm. Draymond being an ass. Like, that's not fun. This is fun. The Shams-Woj back and forth.
Yeah.
Is a great, it's whether you're a media, because there are people who are like media dorks who care about the like meta aspect of the media, not just what's being reported, but how it's being reported and the players in the media that are involved, the news breakers, who's breaking the news first. But I think you don't have to be a media dork to be in on the Shams versus Woj like back and forth.
No, I think it's crazy to see these things play out like so publicly.
Yeah.
Because like while they're not going at each other, they certainly are going at each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're seeing this like very, very strict rivalry. And like, look, it's sort of like the mentor and mentee. Like these guys work together at Yahoo, right?
Yeah.
I believe is Yahoo where they started together. Mm-hmm. And Woj brought Shams along. And then now Shams is his powerhouse and they're both powerhouses. And so you have all these infighting and stuff. And, you know, it's really about who gets the information first. And I know a lot of teams, like, they'll go back and forth and, you know, one guy will call Shams, the other will call Woj at different times. And, like, that's the way it works. That's the way the media world works for whatever reason. And beating those guys is so incredibly difficult.
Oh, nigh impossible.
Yeah. I mean, I think I told you yesterday, like, we were in the gym. We watched De'Aaron Fox roll his ankle, right at the end of practice. We walk in the door. He rolls his ankle. He starts hopping off the court. We're like, is he okay? He's walking, and he seems okay. And we're sitting there, like, we asked the coaches about it. We asked everybody about it. We go back out into the waiting room. Shams breaks it. De'Aaron Fox has a grade 3 ankle sprain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, all right. Like,
that's so annoying.
It's like, we're here. We watched the injury happen.
People who are here every day grinding to cover your team.
Yes. Yeah. And then that's how it's handled.
Brutal.
And so sometimes you're like, you just throw your hands up. Like, what are you supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
But like, there are plenty of times that I've beat those guys to stories here in Sacramento, local stories. And that's always like a big victory for you.
Yeah.
And I always find it funny when like I tweet out, you know, whatever, mm. Mike Brown agrees to a new contract extension, Woj first. Yeah, I've yet to see one of those James Ham first from those guys.
No, of course not.
Back.
No, why would they do that?
Why would they do that?
That would be insane.
That would be completely outlandish and insane. Ridiculous. But you got to keep doing it.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you missed it, the reason we're talking about this is because Shams on June 4th, that was Tuesday, tweeted out a story. The Los Angeles Lakers are zeroing in on J.J. Redick as the front runner for franchise's next head coach, league and industry sources say. And typically when zeroing in on J.J., when Shams reports something like that, that is, oh, this thing is happening. And we had discussions. I saw Laker blogs writing posts and Laker podcasts doing podcasts. You and I talked about, man, the merits of J.J. Redick as a head coach. Oh, boy. All right. Let's see how this goes. But Woj was silent. And Woj hadn't said anything. Not confirming it. Not adding on. Just nothing. Didn't have anything. And then this morning, Woj tweets, breaking, the Los Angeles Lakers are targeting Connecticut's Dan Hurley to become the franchise's next head coach and are preparing a massive long-term contract offer to bring the back-to-back national champion to the NBA, sources tell ESPN. And then went on TV and not only like doubled down, but just really like drove home the fact that Dan Hurley is the guy for the Lakers. Here, listen to this. This is Woj on First Take this morning.
The Lakers have been in pursuit of Dan Hurley since their job opened. This has been their number one candidate, and there are traction in these conversations. They have had contact. They're going to talk much more in the coming days, but the Lakers are preparing a massive long-term offer for Dan Hurley. They want him to be a program builder in L.A., that they want a coach who can span not just this LeBron James, Anthony Davis era, but beyond it. And they consider him to be the best coach available in the market. Dan Hurley has never made any secret of his ambition to someday coach in the NBA. He is not afraid of challenges. The Lakers are the mountaintop in terms of scrutiny, stature, all the things that come with that job. Dan Hurley is listening, and he is listening closely right now. Back-to-back national championships. He has the opportunity to do something no one's done since John Wooden, and that's win three in a row. But he has now a point in time where he's got to make a really hard decision.
That's Adrian Wojnarowski this morning on ESPN's First Take, and you heard it right there at the top. He has been their guy since the job opened. And no mention of J.J. Redick, no mention of Shams. That's because it's this weird little Cold War going on.
Yes.
Everybody knows that they are over there duking it out, but neither one of them wants to acknowledge it. Because I think there's like a respect there between them, but I also don't think they like each other.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, there's competition. We have competition in this market.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the way that, like, Woj and Shams, there's one story to get. It's the Laker, like, or just in this instance, there's one story to get. Who's going to get it first? And the ability to get that first is their earning potential. Like, that is their value to their company.
Mm-hmm.
So this like, beef, this little back and forth, I don't even want to call it a beef, this competition between these two guys is genuinely compelling.
I totally agree.
And when you're going to catch a dub, if you're going to catch a dub like Woj thinks he has here, then you're going to victory lap it every chance you get.
That's what it looks like he's doing.
So fun.
Yeah, I think it's fun too. And I'm surprised that the definitiveness that Shams put out the J.J. Redick stuff, because that was really like, you know, but he also cites league and industry sources. And that's where it's like, okay, this is a little strange. Plus, like, I know that they have a couple of guys there that have such deep ties to the Lakers, that know the Lakers inside and out.
At the Athletic?
At the Athletic. Yeah, and the way they work is they have a hierarchy where everything gets fed up to Shams, right? So you can hear some, and he'll sometimes put out a Shams, oh, and like with someone else.
According to me and Sam Amick.
Someone else, yeah, right? Well, their ties there are deep, and for them to not sort of be in the ballpark here is kind of interesting. So I want to see how this all plays out in the end.
It is very, very interesting.
Yes.
I'm not gonna I had a theory texted to me yesterday, and I put it on Twitter. I just think it's fascinating that Shams posted that. Shams, who has deep clutch ties too,
yep,
posted that, and then you have Woj a couple of days later having something very, very different.
Yeah, just blew it up.
I cannot wait to continue following this story. I don't give a rip who coaches the Lakers. I just don't care.
Yep.
But from just a structural news breaking standpoint, this is going to be really interesting. We'll actually talk a little bit about Dan Hurley and the Lakers coming up in a bit. But we have NBA basketball tonight. It feels like it's been forever since we watched an NBA game. Shout out to Asia Wilson last night, by the way, the Las Vegas Aces. She was sensational.
Yes.
First WNBA player ever with 30 points, at least 30 points, 10 boards, and 5 steals in a game.
Whew.
Like, she didn't win the MVP last year, and she probably should have, and she is making everybody aware of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she's going to win it this year and win it by a lot. But the NBA Finals begin tonight. Celtics, Mavs, we'll discuss that. We got a Game 1 preview coming up on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. And welcome back in. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Game 1 of the NBA Finals is tonight. Coverage begins here on ESPN 1320, about 4:30, but it feels like we have danced around discussing this on the Insiders.
Okay.
Monday through Friday, 10 to noon. But let's dive in. Let's talk about Game 1, because we finally got a game. It's been, what, 10 days?
It feels like it's
ended?
Been like 3 weeks, it feels like.
It genuinely does. It hasn't been 3 weeks, but it feels
that
way. I think
it's been 6 days.
It's been more than that.
No, I think because it got extended to last Thursday, so I guess this is 7th day.
I know, because during the NBA playoffs, it's like there's at least a game every day.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
And usually 2 or 3 games every day. And then we just went, oh man, conference finals, the Celtics, they swept the Pacers, but that was like the least sweepy sweep of all time.
Mm-hmm.
The Pacers were in all but one of those games and probably should have won or could have won 3 of those 4 games.
Yeah.
With a little bit better late game execution. And then you had Dallas and Minnesota. Again, Dallas won it in 5. It was a really, really tough matchup, it turns out, for Minnesota. But Minnesota, same thing. They hit a couple of shots. That series goes much longer than 5 games. Maybe 6 or even 7. I think it's funny, much longer than 5. It's like it could go 2 more games.
It could go up to 6 or 7 games.
No, but that series goes longer than 5 if the Timberwolves hit a couple of more shots. Like, it wasn't. So I think we had these 2 pretty exciting, like really fun conference finals, and then it was just over and then nothing for a week. But now it's here. Game 1 in Boston tonight. Again, coverage begins at 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320. Good matchup.
I think it is. I think what I want to see is, for me, the Western Conference was defined very much by the matchups, mm-hmm. like one after another,
definitely.
The matchups, like mm-hmm. the whole time. I want to see if that's the case in the finals. I want to see if somehow Luka and Kyrie can create that same mismatch problem, that the style of play that they bring to the table can create some sort of, you know, again, mismatch issue, and that they can disturb what looks like a Celtics team that shouldn't lose. I mean, the yeah. Celtics are a team that just rolled all season long. 64 wins, 14 games above any team in the Eastern Conference.
Crazy.
Like, they're like one of the most dominant performances we've seen from a team in decades. So for me, a decade probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see how this looks against a team that's hot. That's coming yeah. in and rolling and, you know, just beat an opponent that I don't think anyone really even thought that they were going to hang that tough with. Like, I think Minnesota looked like a better team going into that series, and mm-hmm. it's stunning that that series ended in 5 games.
Yeah.
And ended the way it did in 5 games. So, yeah I'm here for it, because I think that's, this season feels like the unexpected
yeah.
is what happens. And so, I don't know what's going to happen, but I definitely know that I'm going to be tuned in and watching, because
yeah.
it's like high intrigue.
I'm way more interested in this than I was Nuggets Heat.
Yeah.
Like, I watched the finals last year, but it was like, man, I have zero faith
that the Heat are going to do anything in this series. Mm. And they really didn't. The Nuggets just kind of rolled. They were just the best team. They were certainly the better team in that series and the best team in the NBA last year, at least as far as I'm concerned. At least this year, the Celtics are the best team in basketball for sure. But had the Heat beat the Nuggets, I would have been floored. I would have been shook that Miami team beat that Denver team. Whereas with this, I would not be shocked if the Mavericks won the series. But again, I think that would have been the case if it was the Nuggets. I think it would have been the case if it was the Timberwolves. I just don't think we were going to get a bad finals matchup this year. And with the way the Mavericks are playing, when you talk about duos, it's Tatum and Brown and Luka and Kyrie. It's like, man, that's a lot of star power.
Yeah.
And then you have these two guys who are trying to carry and maximize, like Jason Timpf told us on the Insiders yesterday, the Mavericks are this team that has just maximized the talent that they have. They have done everything that they can possibly do to make sure that PJ Washington and Derek Jones and Derek Lively and Daniel Gafford are contributing alongside Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah.
But then you've got the Celtics, who have this great duo, and then also the best probably three role players in the league in Derek White and Kristaps Porzingis
and
Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting matchup. And when it comes to when you start looking at the teams out west, I don't think that there was a matchup that would have been bad per se. But I think this provides the most intrigue for me, at least.
Yeah, I think that every single team that could have made it to the finals from the West, mm-hmm. like, had a certain thing that they do that would at least make you think that they have a shot. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure that the Celtics are beatable. But I think we're in the minority. Like, we're going through and looking at the ESPN predictions.
Yeah,
and they have 9 of their people of the 17. Have the Mavs winning in 6 or 7.
That's wild to me.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
With 8 having the Celtics winning, they have Jason Tatum, 8 different people selected Tatum to win the MVP.
So all 8 people who picked the Celtics picked Tatum?
Yes.
Okay.
But then 7 for Luka and 2 for Kyrie. I think it's just interesting maybe they're just trying to drum up that this is going to be close. You know, maybe
no, but
that's...
they don't typically do that.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you seen a series end and then a team account posts the ESPN predictions and there's one person who took that team that won?
Oh.
And that happens. I feel like that happens once or twice every playoffs. So I don't think they're trying to drum up interest. I just think that people are genuinely like, hey, Luka's a killer. Kyrie's a killer. And the knock on Boston is that they're soft.
Yeah.
And these two dudes are going to Jason Concepcion on the podcast Six Trophies with Shea Serrano described the Celtics as, like, you know, dominant, very good, you know, incredible team, deserves to be in the finals, but they're more of like a he described the Mavericks as like having blood dripping off their fangs. Mm. Like, they've just been hardened to get to this point in a way that the Celtics haven't, and in a way that the Celtics have shown, like, man, the Warriors talked about in the 2022 finals. After Golden State won game 4, they're like, series is over. We got them. Like, they're cooked. And that was the case. And so that's my one thing if you're going to pick the Mavs, because I think straight up in a vacuum, you're just going to pick the Celtics. They're a better team, right?
Yep.
But I think the reason this is leaning so heavily towards the Mavs from the ESPN prediction standpoint is, I think there's people looking at Luka and Kyrie and going, yo, they're going to punch the Celtics in the mouth. And the Celtics have not shown throughout this incredible run that they've been on with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that they can withstand that.
No, I get that. It's fair. But I'd also say that the Dallas Mavericks are a team that have not been together that long. Like,
very true.
They have, like, what, 2 major additions in PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford at the deadline. But also, you know, Derek Jones Jr. was new. They traded for Kyrie, like, in the middle of last season, mm-hmm. and everything spun out. Like, this was a new group. And to see them sort of gel and find who they are after, like, 2 major trades at the All-Star break,
mm-hmm.
and then come out of the break and just, like, get on a tear.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we talked about it. The Kings were, like, 4 games up or 3 games up on Dallas on, like, January 17th. Mm-hmm. And then Dallas ends up just rolling the whole second half of the season. But you could see the chemistry building. You could see how these pieces might work.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, just one series after another where they're just gelling more and more and more as they're moving along. So I think that might be the biggest, I mean, it's a scary thing if you're the Celtics, but the Celtics, at the end of the day, they're a team that have been, a lot of their pieces have been together for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, the Jaylen Brown, the Jason Tatum, Al Horford group, even Derek White's been there a couple of years. So you kind of feel like that group has like some momentum of their own and something different to provide that maybe the teams in the West just couldn't bring out.
Yep.
So I'm intrigued.
Yeah. Can't wait. We will have our official predictions coming up, and we'll also look at keys to victory for each team as game one of the finals is tonight. Coverage begins at 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. We'll be right back.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, it is the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. That guy right there is James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. A huge shout out to Jiffy Lube. Big fans.
Yes.
Talking NBA Finals, so much has been made of the duos in this NBA Finals. It's Tatum and Brown, Luka and Kyrie. Real quick on Jaylen Brown, and we have a caller here. Caller, hang in there 1 second. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you want to hop on the program. But Jaylen Brown did a sit-down interview with, I think, ESPN, where he said, like, I'm at the point in my life where I just don't give an F about the respect anymore. Like, he's just been so overlooked his entire life, and he's just so, oh, I'm at the point in my life. It's like, first of all, you're like 27, relax.
Yeah.
If that. he's a very young guy. But the other thing, is Jaylen Brown, like, disrespected or underrated in some way? I feel like Jaylen Brown is very properly rated.
I totally agree with you.
He is. The Celtics are loaded, and he is very clearly considered their second best player, and on some nights, their best player.
Mm-hmm.
He's didn't make all NBA because he's not a top 15 guy. I'm sorry. And he got a $300 million contract from the Celtics. And pretty much everybody considers him, if he's not top 15, everybody considers him top 20, 25.
Yeah.
Like, he is one of the very best players in the league, but he's just not an All-NBA guy.
It's crazy because he was an All-NBA guy a year ago.
Sure.
Right? So he averaged 26.6 points per game. But this season, his points per game dropped to 23. And I know that they have a more well-rounded team.
Yeah.
And like, overall, he was very similar to the player he's been in the past. Maybe didn't rebound as well, but again, that can be situational. That could be the fact that Derek White's a really good rebounder, or
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yeah, or Drew Holiday is a better rebounding point guard than what they've had in the past. So I think it's interesting, but I also, I kind of put him in that bubble where, like, yeah, he's an all-star, but he's not one of the elite of the elite of the elite.
Mm-mm.
And even still, I found it interesting. We were watching a conversation about just where all these guys rank. And even yesterday that we had the conversation, we had Jason Tempf, where he said he has Jason Tatum like as that first guy outside of the top tier.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think that's fair.
I think it's fair because he's a guy who, like, yeah, he's really good, but there's greatness in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And to compete with that, you have to turn it up a notch. You know, again, I would put Jason Tatum in the same bracket as like a Donovan Mitchell. You know, he's in a bracket of players that are like that De'Aaron Fox is in, but he's not at the top of that list with a Tatum just because of the winning, right? So I think that this is like, it's difficult for a guy like Jaylen Brown to feel that way, but I almost wonder if he's going to be one of those guys that has to at some point, like, I need to go have my own team so I can show everybody. And it's like, okay, like, I'm not sure. That seems, but you know what I mean? Like, we used to have those guys that, like, you got to go.
Kyrie just did it.
Yeah, I got to go somewhere else where I got to go prove that I'm the guy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay, that's fine. If that's what you want to do, you're going to give up winning.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're on a winner. You're on a team. Like, if you just look at him, he's never going to be a top five player, like all time in the NBA. He's just not that guy.
No.
But he has an opportunity to be a Hall of Famer. He has an opportunity to win multiple titles with the Celtics.
Yep.
Like, all those things should matter to you. Like, and the paycheck is so extreme.
It is insane.
It's wild.
Not that he didn't earn it like he did. That's kind of the thing. And I know that athletes do this.
Yeah.
I'm not dumb. I know that athletes, well, sometimes. But in this instance, I'm not. Where I know that athletes drum up disrespect like this all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the freaking time. So it's not that that's this. I always look at those things logically and I try and go, is that person right? Like, they're going to drum up that disrespect because it's going to fuel them or whatever. But, like, man, Jaylen Brown was the best player on a finals team. And I think everybody just kind of knows that. Yeah. And he was that's to say he was the best player in the 2022 finals for them by I thought a pretty wide margin. And he's very, very good. And I don't think that not being an All-NBA guy, like, somewhere along the line, it became, if you're saying a guy's not a top five guy, you're like disrespecting him. Like, no, do you know how good you have to be to get to that point? It is so hard to get to that point. You can be really great and not be there.
Yeah.
I guess that's just like, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm just not sure.
I'm probably way overthinking this.
But. Yeah. I just don't think we're here for the poor me, I'm not getting my respect thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I think you have the largest contract in NBA history to date.
Yeah.
Like, you will be paid handsomely. You are getting that respect. And I just find it interesting that this is kind of where we're at with him.
Yeah.
Like, go in there and just, like, win a championship. How about if you want the respect, just go take it right now.
Yeah.
Go be the best player in an NBA Finals.
That's been the benchmark.
Yeah, yeah. Go just grab the bull by the horns and, mm-hmm. like, take your team to an NBA championship, right. and everything else will fall in place.
And he's that good.
Yeah.
I think he can.
Yeah,
so now go do it. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you want to join the show, we got Don. Don, what's going on?
Hey, this is Big Don E. How you guys doing?
Big Don E, what's up, baby?
Depending on who wins the championship this year, whose legacy would be affected the most? Kyrie, who's been looking for a home since leaving Cleveland. Luka, whose Harden-like play style was never thought to be a winning formula until this year. Or Tatum, who is the 1A on a team but didn't show up last time he's in the finals.
Huh. Say the first part of that again.
Whose legacy is?
Oh, great question.
Probably, yeah. Like, yeah, it was a very good question.
That's it. That's the chatty. I said a couple things about the Jaylen Brown thing that I want to put a pin in for sure. I think it feels to me, because of what we're talking about with Tatum and Brown, like Luka's legacy is not going to be defined here. It's just not defined, but it's his first trip to the finals. If they get beat by this Boston team, nobody's going to be like, wow, Luka actually stinks. I don't. And frankly, the James Harden play style stuff, it feels like he has evolved into a little bit different version of that, where he's taking or is more willing to take a back seat in certain spots. Kyrie there's a huge conversation we can have about Kyrie, but he hit maybe the biggest shot in NBA history. Like, Kyrie is that dude. To me, it's Tatum at this point. Like, dude, they've got it. They have to get it. He has been incredible. And the Celtics have been incredible with the Tatum and Brown duo. I know he brought up Tatum specifically, but I think he lumped Jaylen Brown in here too, where at some point, you got it. I know it's really hard to win a title, and I know there's so much more to the game and to preparation, and there are so many things that can deter you from winning a title that are out of your hands. But I feel like this has been the road. This is the year for them. Where if they don't get it this year, like, people are going to start looking at them sideways. Like, hey, when are you going to do it then?
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to go with a totally different approach. I think it is Luka. I think that everybody has been waiting for Luka to take this step, and that if he were to win the NBA title, like, the MVPs are going to roll in one after another, after another, after another. Up to this point, I think it's really tough to give a guy whose team is fifth in the Western Conference the MVP award. And I know how good Luka's been. And if you look at his contract, I mean, and like his stats are obscene. Like, leading the league in scoring. Like, all of the things that he's doing right now, they're obscene, but he's in the conversation for MVP, but not really. Like, it's always like there's these other two guys that are going to win it over him, and it's because last season he didn't make the playoffs. Like, you can't be an MVP and not make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way it goes. I mean, you could average 40 points a game, and if your team doesn't make the playoffs, you're not going to win MVP.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things where I think his legacy is going to be as one of the great players of all time, right? But, like, he can accumulate so many more statistical so many more, like, awards, so many things like MVP awards,
mm-hmm.
if he does get over the hump here and win a championship. And it might not happen this year. It might never happen. We never know. But if he wins one, I think all of the accolades will be poured on him. I think it's very possible he will widely be considered the best player in the NBA, bar none, if he does lead a team to a championship. And
that's a good point.
Yeah, I think, you know, again, like Tatum and his legacy, I just don't think it's ever going to be as a superstar. It's going to be as a great player. But will he reach that extra status point?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure he's ever going to reach that. Even if he is a multi-time champion. Maybe I'm wrong. It's just he hasn't taken his game like past where like he's kind of like plateaued. And that plateau is as a great player.
Yeah.
You know, 26, 27 points per game. It's like, that's a great player. But you kind of thought that he might take it even further. And he's still young enough that he could.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know that he's ever going to reach the heights where we feel the same way that we could possibly feel about Luka, where he is,
yeah,
like, he is the best player in basketball. I don't think we're going to get there. And then Kyrie, I think Kyrie's going to be one of the most complex, like, his legacy is going to be one of the most complex things that we've ever seen in the sport.
Yep.
And when he's done, I don't know how people are going to view him, but I will tell you that players love him. Players who, not only who play with him, but players who around the league, like De'Aaron Fox loves Kyrie Irving.
He is your favorite player's favorite player.
Yes. Like, people dig him. Like, outside of, you know, I'm sure that a lot of players don't even understand some of the stuff that he's done that are negative. They, like, whether they dive into the politics of it or not.
I bet most of those guys couldn't care less.
Yeah, it's because they don't understand, like, what it is that he's done. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I still think that, like, Kyrie has made some mistakes, and his legacy is going to be that. It's going to be as a player who was outstanding. And it may, like, the best ball handler, one of the best ball handlers we've ever seen in the league.
He's incredible.
There's always going to be this thing about him that you're like, okay, but this is who he is. I mean, he should be considered a top, like, 10 NBA player. And I'm not sure that most people, like, on the average fan would consider him that. And it's not because of his play. It's because of all the other stuff.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why I'm right there with you. It's going to be super complicated because of this weird stint he had. Well, A, there was the Boston. He gets out of Cleveland, where he was playing with LeBron James and could have just competed for titles every single year and probably won multiple.
Mm-hmm.
But he leaves because he wants to be the guy. So he goes to Boston and tells Boston, I'm going to stay. This is going to be... And then leaves. And he goes to Brooklyn. And then in Brooklyn, they're playing. They had the James Harden, Kevin Durant thing. That didn't quite work out. And then he disappeared and then wouldn't play because of the vaccine mandate. And then had the video that he was posting on social media. Again, I have not even dove all the way into that, but there are just going to be things that people always look at with Kyrie who are going to go, well, I can't get myself to feel that way about him as a player because of X, Y, and Z. Well, that's fair or not, I don't know. But from a pure, like, on court standpoint, like in a vacuum where there's no real life and there's just basketball, Kyrie Irving is one of the most skilled players to ever play. He has hit one of the biggest shots in NBA history.
Yep.
If he goes out and is the finals MVP on a team with Luka Doncic, facing this Celtics team with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Derek White and Kristaps Porzingis and Jrue Holiday, and he goes out and cooks again, then I think that I think it's going to cement from a basketball standpoint. Like, yeah, hey, whatever those weird couple years were where it looked like he was going to just fall out of the league, like, those are now behind him.
Yeah.
Kyrie's back. Kyrie is one of the best players in the sport. But again, what in 20 years, how much is the stuff from the past few years going to matter to people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who weren't around.
No,
people who are babies right now who are talking on the radio in 25 years. Are they gonna care? I don't know.
I think it's possible they will, and that's the problem with legacies. Because I think there are players that you still think of in certain ways from the past.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if someone says Derek Coleman, you think, oh my gosh, you know, great, great talent.
Mm-hmm.
But surly. And like, they're like, people did not like him. He bounced around teams, and we're talking about a guy who was like one of the few 2010 guys in his era.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just consistently great numbers. You know, I think that there are legacy issues with certain players throughout history.
Yeah.
That you just kind of stand back and go, okay, look, you were great. Again, like, Tracy McGrady couldn't get through the first round.
Mm-hmm.
you know, couldn't get out of the first round of the playoffs for one time in his entire career.
Yeah, and it was when he was like with the Spurs.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that there are things that stick with you, and I think Kyrie, some of his stuff is going to stick with him. But that doesn't mean I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he will be in the Hall of Famer. He will be in the Hall of Fame, and I think, you know, he is going to go down as one of the great players of this era.
Yep.
But he's going to probably be behind like 10 other guys, maybe 15 other guys in this era that you just put above him. And it's not because of his play. It's because of all the whole package.
Caller, I see you on the line. Hang in there for 1 second. What I'm not here for with Kyrie, I fully acknowledge how good he is at basketball. Mm-hmm. His ability to finish around the rim. Somebody said somebody's like, you can appreciate it on TV, but wait till you watch him in person. And that's so true. The way he moves is just different. The way he handles the basketball is just different. The way he can finish at the rim is just he's just an incredible, incredible talent.
Yeah.
Nobody owes Kyrie an apology. I'm not here for the like, wow, he overcame so much. Like, no, that's self-induced. That's not the case at all. You don't get to slam your face into a wall, and then when you stand back up, everybody be like, wow, he stood up. Amazing. What an incredible comeback. Like, no, man.
Yeah.
He did it to himself.
I totally agree. Yeah, redemption tour is very interesting to watch.
The redemption tour from the standpoint of it looked like he was a bad teammate and was just always going to be a bad teammate and didn't care about winning anymore. That was very much real, and now it's not. He has overcome that perception. But he did that perception.
Yeah.
He did the things that made people view him that way and made people think, like, hey, man, Kyrie just might not want to play basketball anymore. I don't know that I'd want to take this guy on my team right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did that. And it was a perfectly normal take at the time.
Even look at what he was traded for. It ends up being like a couple of journeyman basketball players and a first round pick.
Yeah.
That's all they got
like
for him.
Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith?
Yeah, at age 30, that's what they got for a guy who should be considered close to superstar status, but star status.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then to make matters worse, in his first year in Dallas, they didn't even make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Which further fueled this like, hey, what the, and part of that was on Luka for sure. There was a Luka component of that as well.
Yeah, of course.
But that was, it was just like, man, hey, when you're reading the info you have at the time, like this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
You don't need to, nobody owes him an apology.
Yeah. I do think that it's very interesting how he's being portrayed at this point. And like, look, like guys get lost. They do.
No doubt.
And they find their way back sometimes.
Especially in their late 20s.
Yeah, yeah. And so, and especially during a really dark time. Like,
yeah,
we're all in a pandemic at that time. We're all going through some things at that time. So maybe he did just lose his way.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I'm really not here for the full on redemption. This is a good story, and I'll tell you one of the reasons I think it's a good story for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I think he did lose his way.
Yeah,
and I think when he got to Dallas, like I'll tell you the problem him getting to Dallas from everything I knew from people inside was not that he caused problems. It was that everyone all of a sudden wanted to play with him because they understood his play style and felt like they were more involved and
interesting.
And they liked playing with him more than they liked playing with Luka. They right away, they were like, oh, this is how basketball is supposed to be played.
Sure.
And what we've been doing feels like it's one guy and then us.
Mm-hmm.
Now he gets everybody involved. It feels like it's all of us together moving forward. I think that this season, you've seen Luka turn the corner and figure this out, and you got to at least give Kyrie some of the credit for that. I think he has helped like Luka reach his potential in certain ways.
I agree.
And so I'm intrigued to see how it goes like forward with him. And I'd also be intrigued to see if Kyrie avoids, because it's not like he could do something else silly that just stands out and you just shake your head and go like, why? You know?
Yeah.
And like, look, there are a lot of complicated basketball players.
Totally. This is not, he is not the only person whose, quote unquote, legacy is complicated.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I covered one of the most complicated players in the history of the league for 6.5 years.
Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah, exactly. DeMarcus Cousins was so complicated. And you know who else is even, I think is even more complicated was Rondo. Like, Rondo's legacy is so complicated.
No doubt.
And then covering him and seeing him on a daily basis was so intriguing, like, so brilliant, so smart.
Yeah.
The whole time, you're like, no one was comfortable. He made, like, it felt uncomfortable with him.
Interesting.
And just, like, that's his legacy is, like, this great player, but with so many weird, like, quirks to him that it leaves you, like, at the end of his, like, with a complicated legacy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know if anybody's doubting that he's awesome at basketball, though. What a player.
No, he can walk on the court and get a triple-double and you know, one of the best defensive guards in the league.
Legacy-wise, you know what? Hang on. Put a pin in that. I want to talk about another Kyrie thing, but Don's been very patient. Don, you're on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up?
Yo, what's up? It's Leezy the Don. What's up, Kyle and Ham?
What's up, bro? What do you got?
What's up, guys?
What's happening?
In time. Hey, quick statement and question. I couldn't agree with you guys more. Like, oh, yeah, we always on demon time. I just wanted to quick statement and question. I definitely agree with you guys on Kyrie. You know, Kyrie, the player, he's great on the court, but off the court, he's done so much, like, just obnoxious, like, over-the-top crazy things. Like, I'm not here for the redemption tour either. I think tonight with game one, I'm sure something's going to happen because we know the Boston crowd can be a little crazy. But my real question, the reason I called in, I wanted to ask you guys a quick question. What do you guys think about this? For Prize Picks, I got Kyrie going over 3 on free throws, Daniel Gafford 8 points, and I got a free square with Tatum. You think I'm hitting on that one or no?
You have more than on those points, not over, more than.
More than.
More than.
More, not over. It's very specific. Say the first one again.
Okay, I got Kyrie going over 3 free throws.
More than free throw.
More than 3.
Free throw attempts or makes?
Makes, okay. My bad.
Okay.
I got Daniel Gafford getting more than 8 points. He's been getting 10, 11, 12, you know.
Okay.
The only thing I'm worried about with that is Porzingis being back.
Sure.
And then what Prize Picks, you know, you basically get a free square with Jason Tatum with getting like more than 1 point. We know that's
huge. Yeah, more than half a point. I feel good about that one.
I
like that. My biggest concern there is Gafford for sure.
Huh.
Yeah. Kyle, Kat, one more thing, Kyle.
Quickly.
I'll be quick. You guys are talking about legacy and guys who changed their perception, I guess. Ron Artest was a good one because Malice and Palace, and then he was a big mental health guy in LA, so I just wanted to add that in. He was a good redemption story.
Yeah, it's a good one for sure. Thanks, Lizzie. Appreciate you. Yeah. Meta World Peace for sure. Is another complicated legacy guy.
Super, super complicated. Yeah. Complicated. And even without the Malice and the Palace, like super complicated.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. The thing I wanted to say about Kyrie real quick, and then we'll hit a break, is the other legacy aspect of this. If Luka comes out and just balls out, and the Mavs win this series, if Luka just very publicly is like, "Yo, Kyrie got me where I needed to go," I'm crediting Kyrie Irving for X, Y, and Z, and that takes Luka to whatever next level he can possibly get to as a player.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other aspect of the Kyrie legacy thing that will matter in this series. Because if the story of Luka's career, if he continues this ascension where he's going to be a top 5 or 10 guy of all time, he's going to win multiple titles, whatever it is, multiple MVPs. And the turning point is, he was kind of stuck in the mud until Kyrie got there.
Yeah.
Like that will also help the Kyrie Irving legacy.
No, I think it would. I think it would be like a really, really good moment for him. And the fact is, they still need Kyrie to be a great player.
1,000%.
So this can't just be like he's Obi-Wan Kenobi and he's trying to, you know, lead young Luke Skywalker through.
Right.
I mean, this has to be more, right?
Yep.
I'm intrigued by the storyline, but I also, I don't think I can give up on some of my understandings of him as a person and as some of the things that have happened.
Yeah.
So it's difficult.
All right. We got to hit a break. Second hour coming up. We'll continue talking NBA finals. And what else do we got? That's what we got. We're talking NBA finals. The NBA is back. Finally. Game one tonight. Coverage begins at 4:30 right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Second hour of the Insider sponsored by Jiffy Lube coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for
for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valenti, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.